Gospel of John chapter 15. John 15, and when you find it, if you'll stand with me in honor of God's holy word. John chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. John 15 and verse 1. John 15, beginning in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And on down in verse 16, he tells us, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my commandment. Love each other. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. That, Father, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, help it, Lord, to pierce our very souls and minds, Lord, in our hearts every day, that we, Lord, may bear fruit for you and for your kingdom, Lord, and to be faithful and found faithful at your return. We thank you so much, Father, that, Lord, we're not alone, that we are with you in one big family of God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You be seated. Amen. We come here to the Gospel of John. And again, in verse 1 of chapter 15, the Lord tells us, I am the true vine. The true vine, he says. We notice here the first word he says is, I am. He's not just telling us that's what I am, but he's also reminding us of that age-old thing Jesus so often did. Way back, what did God say his name was? He says, I am. It's what he told old Moses back there. He's reminding the children of Israel, he's reminding us too, just who he is. He's Lord God Almighty in the flesh, the Holy Son of God. That's Jesus Christ. This isn't just some prophet telling us this. This is God's Almighty Son, the Savior of the world. So we can listen. We can heed. We can know it's the truth. He says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. He's the true vine. His Father's the gardener. What's the Father doing? Verse 2, he says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. If you notice in our psalm lesson this morning, he says, he cut off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And if you'll notice, read through here as we read, it's a lament by the children of Israel. He says, restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. He says, O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry through people's prayer? You fed them with the bread of tears. As we read through it, they're begging for restoration. They're going through hard times. It says here, you brought a vine out of Egypt. It's talking about the children of Israel, God's people. This is where God's people today. We're his true vine to this very day, just as they were back then. But what mistake did they make? You clear the ground for it. He tells us what he did, all the good things God did for that vine. It says there, why then have you broken down its walls? It said, all who pass along the way pluck its fruit. And it's talking about the boars ravaging it. Children of Israel were in deep pain. Why is that? If you'll go with me now in the book of Isaiah, we'll be right back here to the Gospel of John. But Isaiah chapter 5, he tells us a little bit about this. It says here, I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. In Isaiah chapter 5, my loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. It's familiar just as we're talking about with Jesus, just as he was telling us about the vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones. He planted it with the choicest vines. He's talking about me and you. He's talking about God's people. He's planted us. If he's the vine, we're the branches. He's planted us in the most fertile place. God right here, he's given us the Word of God. He's given us the Holy Ghost. Very fertile ground for us. He dug it up and cleared it of stones. He planted it with the choicest vines, only the best that God gives his people. He builds a watchtower and cut out a wine press as well. He's expecting it. See, what's he say? Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but he yielded only bad fruit. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He said, every branch that does not bear good fruit, what did he say? He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. The children of Israel were not bearing good fruit, just as they lamented in the Psalms, just we read here. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. To some translation says wild grapes, I believe the King James calls it, or another calls it wicked grapes. They were producing wicked fruit after all that God done for them. Out of all God done for the children of Israel, what were they doing? Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. How many times is God looking in our lives? It's the branches of Jesus Christ, the branches of his vine, are we not producing the good grapes, the good fruit, the wonderful things that God expects of his children? We'll be right back here again. I'm going to read to you about the fruits that they were producing, the fruits we ought to be producing. In Galatians chapter 5, the acts of the flesh or the fruits of the flesh are obvious, he says, sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discourse, jealousy. This is the things that they were bearing for the Lord. They were wild grapes, wicked grapes, terrible fruit. It says here, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live in this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's terrible. That's so sad. That's the kind of fruit the children of Israel were bearing. We have to be careful as God's children now, as the sheep of his shepherd, as his vine. Oh, as the branches of his vine, just as they were. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes. God's looking for a crop of good grapes, of good fruit in our lives. What's he looking for in our lives? If we're connected to Jesus, if we're connected to him, if we are truly part of him, part of his branches, part of his vine, but the fruit of the Spirit will be flowing through us. He says it is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Praise God. That's the kind of fruits we need to be bearing. Because God's doing just as he did in Isaiah's day, looking at the children of Israel, looking at God's people. We are God's people this very day. He says here, he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. Ask yourself in your life right now, what kind of fruit are you bearing for the Lord? What's flowing forth out of your life? He says, God told the children of Israel, and he tells us, what more could I have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? What more could God do for us than he's already been doing? He died on the cross of Calvary, and for our redemption, he said, it's expedient that I should go away, that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, should come. And the Holy Ghost came down at Pentecost, and he comes down when we're saved, when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, he comes in our hearts. He says, what more could I have done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Why did it yield only bad? They were only yielding the bad fruit, as we just read about the fruits of the flesh. In your life, what are you yielding to the Lord? What are you yielding to the Lord in your personal life, just you and the Lord? What are you yielding in your work life when you go to work? What are you yielding in your family? We celebrate this wonderful day of Mother's Day, and praise God for the godly mothers that have led their families and children in so many ways of God. We praise God for the godly fathers that do the same. The family is such an important, vital thing. Our families at home should be the smallest part of the church. It ought to be glorifying God then. And each family comes together and glorifies God in his house here. And we all, Church Universal, glorify God. We need to be bearing the fruit in our families and everywhere we go. Here, there, no matter which corner of the four corners of the world we go, we need to be bearing fruit for the Lord, showing him his goodness, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now I will tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. What a sad thing. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. Lord help. I'll make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. That's the fruit of sin. The wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. It will get no nourishment. So too, if you follow through bearing fruit for the devil in the world, this is what's going to happen. The vineyard of the Lord God Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah are the vines he delighted in. He looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. Lord, help! That ought not to be so in our lives. That ought not to be the way it is for us all. And we read what happened in the psalm this morning. what happened when all when God took down the hedge and all these things happened to them, they lamented. They said, "Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine, the stock which your right hand had planted. They burn it with fire. They've had all these hard times. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved." Praise God, he always reaches down. He'll always save us when you turn to him. And back in the Gospel of John, once again, Jesus said, "I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit." The children of Israel back then, they weren't bearing fruit for the Lord. They were letting the ways of the flesh flow from them. They were following the ways of the flesh. They were cut off, it says. What a tragedy. What a sad thing. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Oh, but he says, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So it will be even more faithful. He prunes. What's it look like when you prune a bush? You're not just chopping the thing down, but you're snipping away little pieces of it. Sometimes it'll prune our lives so that we'll bear more fruit. He'll prune our lives so that we'll grow thicker. When you prune a bush, it grows thicker and thicker and prettier. God wants us to be more holy. He wants our lives to be a more beautiful reflection of his love, his joy, his peace, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. He says here, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that will be even more fruitful. He'll send you tests in your lives for pruning. He'll send you trials in your lives for pruning to help you grow closer to him. Test your faith. The testing of your faith works patience and it works endurance, the book of James says. It works out holiness. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, the Bible tells us. He says here, every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. Thank you, Father, for our pruning. Sometimes it may be painful. I'm sure the bush doesn't like it when it's being trimmed, but it's better in the long run. Trust the Lord through the trials, so that you may be even more fruitful. You may be closer to him. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Praise God, because of the word of God, we can be clean. We can be set free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. We're already clean. But what's he tell us to do? He says, remain in me. Stay in there. Stay in the will of God. Be saved and stay saved. He says, remain in me as I also remain in you. He'll always remain in you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll never look at you and say, get away from me. He's always there. He's always open for us. The children of Israel, God never abandoned them when they turned away from him. He didn't abandon his vineyard, if you'll notice. He removed the hedge, but he didn't abandon it. He didn't walk away from it. He still said, this is still my vineyard. He still loves it. He still loves you. No matter what, God loves you, and he's always calling you back. He's always calling you to him. Never run away from him. Run to him. When sin knocks at the door, run to the Lord. When sin's in your life, run to the Lord for cleansing. We can't cleanse ourselves. We can't bear fruit, because notice here he says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. No branch can. If I'm just a branch laying on the ground, it's withered up and died. It's not going to be bearing no grapes. It says there, no branch can bear fruit by itself. If you want the fruits of the Holy Spirit instead of the fruits of the flesh, if you want to walk in the Spirit, if you want to have the ways of God, if you want true love, joy, and peace in your life, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. He says here, I am the vine, you are the branches. Well, if it's connected to the vine, then branches ain't going to be good for nothing. If we're not connected to God's vine, we're not going to be bearing forth any fruit except the ways of the flesh. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, it's an if. If, are you going to remain in the Lord Jesus? Are you going to stay close to him? If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. How do we walk in the Spirit? By faith in Jesus. How are we sanctified? We're saved by grace through faith, not of works, as any man should boast. So how do we get these wonderful things that we just read about? Oh, it's so glorious. I mean, love, joy, peace, forbearance. These are wonderful. Kindness, goodness. So the list goes on and on. Praise God. How do we get these wonderful things in our life? It's not of works. We're not saved by works, so we're not sanctified by works. No, it's faith working in love. When we stay close to the Lord, when we stay connected to him, when we have our faith in him, we have fellowship with him, then these good things can come bearing fruit out of our lives. These good things can come forth from our lives. Oh, just as the living waters will flow from us, out of our belly shall many living waters flow, Jesus said. It's the same concept. It'll flow from us, from within us. The Bible says it's not the outside. It's not all these outside things that defile us, but what did Jesus say? It's not what goes into a man, but it's what comes out that defiles him. Because out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, wickedness, adulteries, and sin. It's out of the heart, but when our hearts are renewed, when our minds are renewed, without the Lord our hearts deceitful and wicked above all things, Jeremiah says, but when we're in the Lord, we're renewed. We're born again. We're a new creation, and we can show forth the love of God. We can show forth the fruits of the Holy Spirit. What kind of fruit are we bearing? We have that choice to make. If we want to bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit, we got to stay connected to Him. We can't say, Lord, fill my cup. If the Lord's standing right over there and I refuse to walk to Him, I can't say, Lord, I want my cup filled. I want to be like You. You got to go close to Him so He can fill us up. We're leaking. We're running low. We need the Lord to fill us up every day. I'm the vine. You are the branches. Stay connected to Him. If you remain in Me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. No branch can bear fruit by itself. You can't do it on your own. You must be connected. Aren't you glad that God doesn't leave us to do this on our own? Aren't you glad that the Lord doesn't just hand us this book and say, have at it, buddy, and walk away? No, He's present with us. The Bible says the Lord is ever present with us in our time of need. He's ever present. The Lord is with thee. The Lord thy God is with thee. Wherever thou goest, the Bible tells us, God's always present. He's always with us. We got to stay close to Him. He's not some distant God that looks down and waves at us from time to time, but He is our dearest friend. He's the one that loves us the most, and we have fellowship with Him. He walks with me and talks to me and tells me I'm His own. Praise God that Him tells us. Adam and Eve, He walked with them in the garden. He walks with us side by side every day spiritually. And one day we'll walk with Him on the streets of glory physically right now. Spiritually, He's just as present as we will be one day with Him. He says here, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Are you connected to Him? The children of Israel willfully did not want to be connected. They stepped away from the Lord, and we saw what happened, and they lamented it. Boy, was they sorry. And they repented, and praise God, they came back, for it was too late. Many of them did. But many of them were shipped away to Babylon because they refused to yield to the Lord's word. Yield to it. Listen to Him. Stay close to Him. He says, if you remain in Me, only if you remain. You have the choice. We have the choice to make. Are we going to remain in Him? If you remain in Me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. What a promise if we remain in Him. We can't earn favor with God just as we can't earn salvation. We can't try to do, I can't say, I'm going to show love, joy, peace. That way God will love me. That don't work that way. You get in the buggy in front of the horse when it needs to be behind it. We need to have our faith pulling our works along, our faith working in love. If we truly have faith, it'll be a living faith. If we're truly connected to Him, then these things will flow out of our lives intentionally as we stay close to Him. And then we can make an effort, not of legalism, of a checklist. Oh, but we do it out of love for God and our neighbor. If we truly love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself, as Christ told us, are the two greatest commandments. If we truly love Him, it's going to make a difference in our life. If we truly love our neighbor, it's going to change how we act. Jesus said on those two commandments hang the entire law and the prophets, everything. Because if you love your neighbor, you're not going to be treating him real sorry and real poorly. If you love the Lord, you're not going to be turning your back on Him and being irreverent and not following the Word of God. You love the Lord, love your neighbor. Love God and stay close to Him. Because if you remain in Me, I in you, you will. That's a promise. He said, and He doesn't say you might, but if you remain in Him, you will bear much fruit. If you're truly remaining in the Lord, there's going to be fruit in your life. He's looking for it. What did He tell them, children of Israel? He said, what? Back there in chapter 5 of Isaiah, He said, He built a watchtower and He cut out a wine press as well, because we have a purpose for our lives. We have a purpose for the good things that will flow when we stay close with Jesus. He said, then He looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. He was looking for it. He's looking for a crop of good fruits of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He's looking for it right now, not just at Judgment Day. It's not being put off. He's looking for it right now in our lives. Is it flowing forth? I can't answer that question for you. Only you and the Lord and the Holy Ghost can. Stay close to Him. He says here, you will bear much fruit. If you're in the Lord, you're going to be bearing much fruit. If you're not bearing any of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith, the Bible tells us. Let a man examine himself. We need to examine ourselves every day. What's flowing forth out of your life? Stay close to the Lord, because He tells us in verse 6, if you do not remain in Me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Isn't that a sad thing? When you cut a branch off of a tree, it's in your way, and you throw it down, it's not going to start growing. It's going to die. When you're cut off from our life source, what's our life source? It's Jesus. Jesus said, I came. He's going to give us life. Not only that, life more abundant. Without Jesus, you don't have life. You have existence. You may exist in this world, but it's not true life, because He's the giver of life. He's still feeding you nourishment every day. He's still sustaining our lives. He didn't, like some people do, the great watchmaker of deism that just put the world motion and stepped aside. That's not what the Bible teaches. God is present. He's holding us. Even if you don't know the Lord, if someone doesn't know the Lord, He's still holding them in their hand and trying to bring them to salvation. He gives us the free will choice, but He's still sustaining us until we waste away. Unless you stay in the Lord and are born again, then we have eternal life forever. He says here, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up. Oh, and this is a sad part. He says, thrown into the fire and burned. Lord, help. The Bible tells us that hell hath enlarged itself to accommodate numbers. Because what was hell created for? It wasn't created for people to go to. It was created for the devil and his angels. But it had to enlarge itself because so many people refused to follow the Lord. God help. That's a very sad thing. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. They weren't producing fruit because they weren't attached. They weren't part of Jesus. They weren't part of the vine. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you because you're connected to the Lord. It's not, Lord, I want a brand new car sitting in my driveway in the morning. And don't walk out there and expecting it to just fell from the sky. Oh, he's talking about spiritual matters. If we are connected to the Lord, if we are close to him, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you because it'll be in the Lord's will if we're close to him. We'll be more aligned. We'll be able to more align with the word of God, with his will and his ways. This is to my Father's glory. If it's going to give God glory that you bear much fruit, you have not because you asked not, the Bible tells us. How many of our prayers, how much closer could we be to the Lord? How much more fruit of the Holy Spirit could we have flowing forth from us? But we didn't ask. How many times have you not asked for more of the Lord? We sit here with as much fruit as we want. We may be a sickly vine that needs a little fertilizing. What's the Bible tell us? He's so gracious. Elsewhere, he tells a parable of there's a tree growing. It's bearing no fruit. It's half sickly looking. So the owner of it said, just cut it down and throw it into the fire. Oh, but someone said, stop, stop. Let us dig around the roots and fertilize it, put some dung around it, and then water it and see if it'll bear fruit. And if not, isn't God gracious? He gives us that. If someone's not bearing fruit, he's wanting you to. He's giving you the tools to. He's allowing you to, if you will come to him. He says here, if you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Whatever you wish, this is to my Father's glory. If it's with the glory of God. How do we get everything we ever wanted? By changing what we want to be what God wants. And it's always better. What God wants for our lives is always better. It's found in the word of God. If we'll align our wills with him. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. They shall know we're Christians by our love, as the Bible tells us. By our love, showing yourselves to be my disciples. By our joy, by our peace, by our long suffering, we can go on down the line. How will they know we're Christians? How will God see that we are truly living as his people? By the fruit we bear in our lives. Verse 9 says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Once again, it's not as a checklist. If we love the Lord, if we remain in his love, then our life's going to look different. It's not a checklist trying to earn God's love. He already loves you. You can't make him love you more. But no, we remain in these good works, remain in him. These good commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments, he says. Out of love for him. If you love me, if we love him, we want to be like him. He says here, I've told you this so that your joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. God wants you to be joyful. We don't want God's children to be moping around. He wants us to have the fruit. What was the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy. He wants to have joy. Sometimes that's not always happiness, but we can always have joy. That your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus did that. He died for us. You won't find anybody that loves you more than Jesus does. So we ought to love him with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. He comes down here, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. He put all this in the Word of God. He put so much in the Word of God. He didn't want us to be ignorant of his character, ignorant of him. He knows that we can trust him. We might not know for tomorrow, but I can tell you part of the future is that God's going to be faithful. He's going to show us love, and he's going to be our guiding light tomorrow and the next day and until we're in eternity or Jesus comes back. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. He's calling all people. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He says here, I chose you and appointed you. We've got an appointment with the Lord. We've got a very important appointment. We've got very important something to do for the Lord. He says here, I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Praise God. We might go and bear fruit. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. He's appointed us that we might go and bear fruit. But how do we do that? Just as Christ illustrated, we got to stay close. We got to stay rooted in the vine. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it by ourselves. Without me, you can do nothing, Jesus says. Without him, we can do nothing. I love that hymn. Without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we're alone. But with him, we're part of the family of God eternally. He says here, fruit that will last. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Excuse me. Lay not for yourselves treasures down below, but lay yourselves treasures in heaven, where the moth and the rust, all these, they don't corrupt it up in heaven. Lay up your treasures in heaven, not down here below. Fruit that will last, the fruits of the Holy Spirit that are eternal. We'll have love, joy, peace, and long-suffering. We'll have all these wonderful gifts in heaven. It says, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Praise God. But how do we love each other? Love's the first fruit of the Spirit. It's the first fruit that we can get from the vine of God. Let's all bow our heads. I want to ask you. Take a moment and look at your life. And what kind of fruits are you bearing in your life? Which vine are you growing? Are you watering? Is it your connection with the Lord? Or is it them old thorns of the flesh? They'll stick you. Them briar patches aren't no fun to walk through. They're not fun for your soul to walk through either. Just as the seed is thrown down in the parable, when it went in the thorns and thistles, it choked it away and it never grew. The Word of God never grew in that person's heart because the vines were choking it down. The vines of thorns and all these things. Oh, but if it's planted in a good told soil, just as God told us he was planting us in the book of Isaiah. If it's fertile ground, is your heart being fertile ground for the Lord to grow in you? And are you bearing much fruit? That's the Father's will for you. Take a moment and pray to him and reflect on that. His throne room of grace is always open to you. Thank you, Father. You told us it's your good will to give unto us the kingdom. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you and be found faithful at your coming, Lord, and to bear much fruit, that we may remain in you, Lord, because without you we can do nothing. But when we remain in you, we can do great things, Lord. We can do all these wonderful, glorious things through who? Through you, Christ, who gives us strength. Bless each and every one of these wonderful people, Lord. We thank you so much for the gift of your love and the gift of your grace. Help us, Lord, to live by it, walk by it, Lord, and someday die by it. To the glory of your name. We thank you, Father, for the gift of the family. Many of us have families, and some people don't have families. So we thank you, Lord, for your comfort you'll provide to them, Lord. On this Mother's Day, may all the mothers have a wonderful day full of grace and thankfulness, Lord, and gratitude as they are witness to you every day. We thank you, Father, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you'll go with me now in the church hymnal, we'll be in hymn number 119.